Genesis 22, 15 through 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me.
The people are walking in darkness, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. As people rejoice at the harvest, as a man rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that has burdened them, the bar across their shoulder, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Remain seated as we sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
from Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed from the bear. Their young will lie down together and the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy. On all my holy mountain from the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place will be a place of rest, a glorious place. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim the remnant that is left of his people from Assyria, from Lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt, from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonian, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. He will raise a banner for all nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered peoples of Judah from the four quarters of the earth. Ephraim's jealousy will vanish and Judah's enemies will be cut off. Ephraim will be jealous for Judah, will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia from the west. Together they will plunder the peoples of the east. They will lay hands on Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea. With a scattering wind, he will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that men can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. Let's sing verses 1 and 3 of Good Christian Men Rejoice.
Luke 1:26-38. In the sixth month, God gave the angel Gabriel sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who has said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. and from Luke 1, 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. For now and all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
Let's sing verses 1 and 2 of Silent Night.
Through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to the baby a son, and wrapped him in cloths, and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Luke 2, 8-20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all peoples. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, peace to men whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what was told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's sing verses 1 and 2 of Away in a Manger. We're not going to watch it. Right. Yeah. But it is part of what I want to talk about this morning. I want to consider the shepherds just for a few minutes here before we move back into our lessons and carols. And there's been this article floating around the internet for a couple years. And I'm sure many of you have read it, so I'm going to rehash a bit of what is in that little article regarding this. So the shepherds. So I was thinking about the shepherds. Strangely enough, my mind went to this cigar that my dad had in his top drawer when I was little. Seems strange, right? And so I remember when I was little, and he'd let me rummage through his stuff, and there was always this cigar in there. He never smoked, but he had this cigar. And it said baby boy on it, right? And for those of you that are old enough, that was how you celebrated when a child was born. You'd hand out cigars, right? It's not what we do anymore. We have a new addiction, which is Facebook. And so right away, you head to Facebook to announce the birth of a child, and you see how many likes you can gather up as quickly as possible, right? Today, we celebrate the birth of Christ in a time before cigars, in a time before Facebook. And it was a celebration that was so much bigger than anything we could ever imagine, because the one who came into the world would change the course of history for all those that came before him and for all those that will come after, celebrating the birth of Christ with an announcement which would garner more likes than Facebook from angels themselves. Angels making the announcement, and making this announcement to shepherds of all people. In Luke 2, verses 8 to 14, we read, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." I mean, to grasp this passage, we have to understand shepherds. And just real quickly, they weren't nobility. They were outcasts, essentially. And we think maybe the message of Christ coming into the world should have gone to nobility, right? We maybe think that. But it went to shepherds. They weren't powerful. Well, maybe the message should have gone to the powerful of the region, right? They could have got the word out quicker. But it didn't go to the powerful. It went to the nobodies. It went to the shepherds, the least of the society. I mean, they lived in the fields, essentially, right? In fact, the Jewish population looked down upon them because they weren't even able to keep the ceremonial law. They couldn't do it because of their occupation. so they were treated as unclean. Many regarded them, in the words of one author, as liars and thieves. In fact, the view of society was so harsh against many of the shepherds that their testimony was not admissible in court. And these were the ones that God sent his angel to announce that Christ had come. I mean, think of the significance of this, what this means for us. It means that the message of Christ, in one very real sense, is not only for the least of society. If it's for them, it's for everybody, right? It's a message from the least to the greatest in the eyes of the world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 31, he says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." I mean, God uses the weak things of the world, right? The shepherds, a manger, in a city that would never be mentioned in scripture or even historical accounts if it wasn't for Christ coming from there. He uses the weak things. He uses us, right? I mean, how amazing is that? He uses the weak things of the world to declare his glory. I think of the weak things, and I think of even preaching itself. I mean, this calling to preach, by the world standards, it's just foolish, right? I'm standing up here with words, right? Delivering to you words, God's words, as his Spirit is with us, applying his words to our life, right? God uses the seemingly weak things to display his glory and his power. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, but he said of me, Paul speaking of himself, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness and insults and hardship and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." In an age that ultimately says, you know, what's true for you is true for you, but what's true for me is true for me, we who are seen as weak in the world declare with Christ, when Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me." God uses the weak things of the world to display his glory, the foolish things in the eyes of the world to show the strength of God. And I think you get the point. We've all been in these situations of understanding how the world views us, but it's the message of God, it's his Spirit that changes things because Christ has come into the world. I think of what Paul wrote. He said, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world, the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. And Paul says in verse 9, why? So that no one may boast before him. We're left with one boast, right? The shepherds were left with one boast. And it's the work of God alone. It's the glory of God. It's the strength of God. I mean, if we could boast in this message that we bring in ourselves, I mean, we'd boast in how smart we are, right? I figured this thing out. You didn't. Look how smart I am, right? We can't boast in that. We can't boast in how powerful we are or how influential we are. The only boast we can make is boasting in Christ, so Christ gets all the glory. That is the point. That's why he uses the weak things of the world, from a manger to shepherds to us. I think of salvation itself. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast," right? Salvation does not come from how smart we are, or we could boast in that. It does not come from how good we've been, or we could boast at how good we've been. Salvation comes from how good Christ has been. It comes from Christ alone, and we can only boast in him. So the message comes to those who see their need for a Savior, not to those who think they have it all together. And here in Luke, this message comes to the shepherds, the despised of the world, those who were looked down upon, those who were discredited and written off. And we say, why? So God gets all the glory. Consider this. Here you have shepherds. I mean, they're just out doing what shepherds do, watching their flock. Luke says, watching their flock by night. It's night. I don't know, sheep are roaming, maybe sleeping. The shepherds may be looking up at the stars. It's probably a night like any other night, right? And then all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, we read in Luke. To understand the scenes, one of the things we've been building to in this text is talking about the angel's declaration, right? To Zechariah, to Mary, to Joseph, and now to the shepherds. And when an angel appears, we read, it causes great fear. Usually people are thrown onto their backs or onto their knees. We don't know exactly what this sight looked like. Maybe it was a booming voice from heaven, maybe with the trumpet sounds, maybe blazing with glory like fire around them. We don't know what this scene looked like, but it caused fear in the shepherds. And the angel spoke these words to the shepherds, "Fear not." These are the words I want to consider right now. The words "fear not" and the significance of Christ coming into the world. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." My wife loves to sew various things. Gifts for the kids, and the kids have all had something when they were little that was something they couldn't part with, you know, like this little owl. They always had to have it with them. A little stuffed animal. Kara had a stuffed animal when she was little, right? That gave you comfort. It was a little boxer dog, right? Right? And now Jackson has that. I had a little brown bear. Like, we all had these things, right? These things that would bring us comfort when we were little. 50 years ago, Charles Schulz made a cartoon that runs every Christmas time, and it hasn't been edited yet for our culturally sensitive minds. But in the cartoon, you have Linus. And Linus, you see pictured there in the orange shirt. He's got his blanket. It's a security blanket, right? You know what I'm talking about. And you know where I'm going with this. I think some of you do. He has his security blanket. It's what gives him comfort in a world filled with fear. And here's the irony. Linus is the wise one of the group, right? He knows how to talk about the world and the things of the world. He's got the wisdom, but he will not let go of that blanket. All his friends encourage him to let go of the blanket, but he can't, right? His outward living doesn't match up with all the knowledge that he has. He needs the security of his little blue blanket. We all have little blue blankets. I know we do. That if we let go of them, we would not feel safe in this world anymore. I mean, what is it for you? I mean, what is your blue blanket? Maybe it's control of a person or people. Maybe it's financial security blankets. Maybe it's a Sig Sauer, I don't know. Maybe it's the internet. I mean, what would you do if the internet went down, right? I have one friend in ministry And in his church, he can talk about any sin in detail. Nobody bats an eye in detail. But if he talks about cell phones and the internet, he gets so much hate mail. That is the blue blanket of our time. It gives us security. We all have them. We know how our minds work. For Linus, it was his blue blanket. He knew the world, he was wise, but he couldn't give up that security. So there's a scene in this Charlie Brown's Christmas that I'm referencing here, and it's the scene when Linus gets up to recite Luke 2. You remember that scene? He walks up onto the stage and he begins to recite Luke 2. And there's a point in his reciting of Luke 2 that he takes his blanket and he drops it. He drops it when he gets to these words of the angels, "Fear not. fear not. And he lets go of the blanket, right? It's subtle. Don't miss it next time you watch that show. Fear not. This is the message that we have received. Christ has come into the world, right? He's come to do business with what we fear. Ultimately, fear of eternal separation from God. He has come to do business with it all. So what do we fear, right? Maybe fear of war. Fear of a rising economy that might suddenly crash. Fear of terrorism. Fear of car wrecks on I-35, right? Fear of sickness. Maybe fear of holiday gatherings with your family. We're a fear-based culture. I mean, it's inherently, because of the fall, ingrained in us. We've talked about this before. The media feeds off of it. Rulers of past centuries, even currently, feed off of it. If I can get the people to fear enough, I can offer them hope and protection and rule them. We are prone to fear. But the first words out of the angel's mouth to the shepherds and to us, fear not. Christ has come into the world. And some of us, all of us, need to hear this message this morning. I mean, maybe your fear is as general. Maybe God is done with me. Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first Antonano. Paul says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God has not forgotten you. God is with you. He will finish what he started. He has come to dispel all the fears and ultimately the fear of eternal separation from him. In fact, we read the words of Jesus in John 6. Jesus says, all that the Father has given to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. What I want you to understand this morning is that the angel of the Lord was not only telling the shepherds to fear not at his appearing. This is part of our Christmas message. There is no reason to fear anymore. Drop your security blanket. You don't need it. Christ has come. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. Nothing in life, nothing in death. Paul says in Romans 14, for none of us live to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us, right? The birth of Christ displays that God is for his people. He sent the answer into the world himself to do what we couldn't do, to drive away fear. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 2, 14 to 16 says this, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. And then we can apply this, and we apply it with the words of Peter. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, beginning at verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because what? He cares for you. Yes, he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. I mean, the point is we have nothing to fear if we belong to Christ, right? Jesus says in Matthew 10, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. He won't even let sparrows fall to the ground unless he wills it. And then Jesus says, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. We have nothing to fear around the world. The psalmist says in Psalm 33, 10 to 11, the Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples, but the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purpose of his heart through all generations. We have nothing to fear around the world, ultimately. And we say with the psalmist in Psalm 118, the Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? And we say, well, there's a lot of things people could do to us, right? But ultimately, in the end, we belong to Christ. Well, what can somebody do eternally to the people of God? And that's nothing. We belong to him. He'll preserve us until the end. We have nothing to fear. So how do we get to that point? We get there by receiving this message that came to the shepherds that night. We get there by letting go of our blue blankets and holding firm to Christ instead. Fearing God and nothing else, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's where we begin. Fear not, the angels declared. Fear not is our... Those are the words that we're to receive this morning as well. We have nothing to fear. Jesus says these words in John 14. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. We have nothing to fear. For those that embrace Christ in this world, Christ has come and we have nothing to fear. And I want to leave you with these words that were read earlier from Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I'm going to celebrate communion today because this is why Christ came into the world, right? To live in our place, to die in our place, to rise again, and to rule the nations, right? He's come and he's done this, and we celebrate that as we remember at the table the sacrifice that he paid. This morning, we're going to celebrate communion a little bit different. We're going to have you all come forward to receive it under the heading of the shepherds going to see Christ, right? Going to receive him. And so when we do communion different, it brings out a different thought. You know, we receive from Christ. As we sit, sometimes we go out to receive from him. We go to get him in that sense. And so we're going to come up and receive from Christ this morning. And so if you're not able to come forward, you can remain in your seat. We will have an elder that will go around and serve you. But what we're going to do, after I pray, if you would line up in the center aisles, there'll be an elder in the front of each center aisle serving the bread, and then an elder out by the trash cans there serving the juice, and then work your way around and take a seat, and then we'll wrap up the service this morning. But let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have come into the world. I thank you for the message that you gave to the shepherds to fear not. I thank you that that's the message we received this morning too, Lord. We have nothing to fear in life and in death if we belong to you. And so to those ends, Lord, feed us at your table. Remind us of your victory, and we pray this in your name. Amen. The elders would come forward at this time. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after they had supped, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Would you come forward? Shy. Come and receive from Christ.
Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven.
Bring your kids forward. You know, I'll pray for them if they're not receiving from the table. I'll say a prayer for them.
Bow before the humble
We thank you that you are not only Lord and God of our hearts, but you are Lord and God of all things, and all the nations will come to you one day very visibly. We thank you for your rule and your reign, for coming into the world and driving out all fear, restoring our relationship with you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Let's sing verses 1 and 2 of Joy to the World.
John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a human's will, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
3 and 4 of Joy to the World.
Thank you.
The offering today is going to go towards the general fund. So if the deacons would come forward for that. Pray. Jesus, we thank you for your victory over sin, death, and the devil. We thank you, Lord, for your rule and your reign. We thank you that your government and your peace will know no end. I thank you, Lord, for the faith that you have given to us that have received you, that walk with you. I pray for anyone here this morning, Lord, and in churches throughout the nation and the world, who might not know you, that you would awaken faith in them, Lord, that you would show them what they're created for, to worship you, to give you glory, to live at peace, to live without fear. We thank you for the church in this nation and around the world, Lord, as churches are packed. We thank you, Lord, for the message that is being heard, that Christ has come. We thank you, Jesus. This is not just an historical account that fades away with time, but this is current reality. You are King and you are Lord. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you answer them according to your will. And oftentimes, Lord, we know that we don't understand your answers, but we will one day. Help us to love your will, your answers, to trust you as our good Father. So I pray for those here this morning, Lord, who are suffering in various ways, whether physically, emotionally, whatever it might be. I pray your healing upon them. Pray for Alan Nickel, Lord, as he continues to heal following his knee surgery. We pray a full healing upon his body. For Sonny, Lord God, we ask that you'd be with Sonny Zambrano and her family. We don't know what the future holds for her, but we know that you hold her, Lord God, that she belongs to you. We thank you for that. We pray healing for her, if that would be your will. Watch over them at this time, we do ask. We pray for those that are shut in from our congregation, Lord. We ask that you would speak to them this morning on this day, reminding them of the good news that you have come. We continue to pray for Breslin and healing upon her body, Lord. We pray for a full recovery. Even this last week, Lord, as we were able to serve the homeless, We ask that you would be with each of those men and women, Lord God. Remind them of your love for them. Might they respond to you as well? Help us never take for granted what you have given to us either, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the nation you've allowed us to live in. We pray for the leaders of this nation. Give them wisdom to lead well, and the leaders of the world. But we do long for your return, Lord God. When there is no more war, no more rumors of war, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, we long for that day. Lord, might we joyfully anticipate your arrival, as we're told in Scripture. And the only way to do that, Lord, is to clear the road in front of us of the idols that so easily block our view of you. Help us not be consumed with things this Christmas, but to be consumed with you. You are God, and we thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Are there any announcements this morning before we close? All right, let's stand for the benediction. May Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who comes with healing in his wings, fill you with joy and peace that passes all understanding. The blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. Go in peace, and Merry Christmas.